afternoon. Thanks for coming back and listen so soon. Bring in the stories of everyday folks while you sit back, relax, have a whisk, coach. Here we go with the Trend Speak podcast, bringing you insight or bringing a laugh. Here's the man who might have a plan. Give it up for your host, Trent Podskaland.
Thank you, Isaiah, and good morning, everyone. It's happy Monday morning. I'm off for the holiday today, and if you're no place. All right, Isaiah, let's try again from the top.
Near and far. From nation to nation, bringing the stories of everyday people. Welcome back to the Trent Speaks podcast.
All right, here we are, take two. I tried to have the dogs in with me and to train them a little bit because we need to get better about training them, and it's almost like sometimes they forget their training, so I had to stop and make sure I was reinforcing what is supposed to be reinforced. Hey, I just want to say thank you so much. I appreciate the outreach from those of you and the support based off of last week's podcast. My intention was not to like send out a call for help or anything. Yes, I have been struggling lately, and I'm still, you know, kind of taking it day by day. Not every day is the greatest, but I've gotten through these times before, and I know that by prayer and just the passage of time that things will improve. And so again, just taking it day by day. But again, thank you. I do appreciate your support, and those of you that reached out, again, thank you from the bottom of my heart. There are a couple things that, you know, I want to recap a little bit of a couple things from last week. And then I want to bounce into the episode that I had said last week. You know, I'm really excited to share a particular topic with you, and I want to talk about value this week. But before I do, this is sometimes things are timely. I have a little anxiety album on my phone so that when I get in these moments, I can go back and kind of like ground myself a little bit. But these were actually some things I had seen other people share on Instagram this week, just as happenstance. So the first one, this is from the Real Depression Project on Instagram. I mean, it says, depression isn't just sad songs in dark rooms. You can't always spot it in the street, at work, or in the grocery store. This is why you should never dismiss or stigmatize someone with depression. It manifests differently for everyone. The other one I want to share with you is one that I saw while I was scrolling this morning, spending a little bit of extra time laying in bed, enjoying my day off. And it was by Dear My Anxiety, also on Instagram. And so they had a series, and it said, anxiety isn't simply worrying too much. It's feeling like something really bad is going to happen and not being able to explain why. Feeling like your heart is going a million miles a minute. Finding it difficult to concentrate on anything other than the anxious feelings and thoughts. Wondering if you're the only person in the world who feels this way. Feeling sick to your stomach. Wishing your thoughts would stop even for 1 second. Overanalyzing every little detail of an interaction. Not trusting in yourself at all. And feeling like you always have to be on guard and alert, because if you're not, something bad will happen. I can relate probably to about 80 to 90% of those that were in the series. So again, just wanted to share those as I had seen them in the past week pop up in various places. You know, one thing that I'm also trying to do, I had seen a couple weeks ago, TikTok video, and I was like, oh, that's a really good idea. And so I was actually watching a couple different things this morning to see, you know, how different people do different routines. But I had read, actually, or I heard on TikTok, and, you know, I saw a TikTok and said, you know, how many times are people going to say I read this or I heard this, but it was actually on TikTok, so I'm just going to admit this was on TikTok. But someone had said, and I believe there's probably proof behind this, that doing a routine actually trains your mind, and your mind associates particular thoughts with doing a routine. And so I'm thinking, if I get myself into both a morning and an evening routine, that'll actually help to take away some of the anxiety and everything, and to give me a little bit of a different mindset, both at the start and at the end of the day. So maybe something you would like to try as well. Something I've been thinking about, you know, something I did last week. I had mentioned that I was on my personal Facebook page. I'm doing a Facebook Live while I recorded. I didn't end up actually publishing the live. I just was live while I was recording. But then I was thinking to myself, I said, oh, I wonder if I should start saying, you know, I'm going to be live on Facebook or on Instagram or TikTok or whatever every like Sunday at 5 p.m. or something. Just an example. And then people can either watch me record live, or, and I won't publish the live, or they can then listen to it when it comes on Monday morning. So it's like an extra freebie or something. I don't know. I haven't actually decided that yet. It's just something that's been growing across my mind. My aunt, Maureen, bless her heart, got me this podcast journal idea to launch in 50 days by John Lee Dumas. However you want to say his last name, because I'm probably not saying it correctly. But it's got a lot of great information. Though I've had the podcast for about 2 years, I was just doing a quick scan of this little journal yesterday, and I was like, oh, wow, like, there's still a lot that, and I'm well aware, there's still a lot that I have to learn, and there's a lot that I think that can be really helpful to me. So I'm excited to dive into that journal and explore. One thing I did see in that, and, you know, something I've noticed in listening to Crime Junkies lately, is they often say subscribe, rate, and review. This will help me build my audience. It'll help more people to hear the podcast. And so I do encourage you, and I do ask you, and you'll hear me say this time and time again, it's something I should have been saying long ago, 2 years ago. But if you could please subscribe, rate, and review the podcast, no matter what you're listening on, whether that's Spotify, Apple Podcast, whatever the heck else you're listening on, it would be greatly appreciated. I'm going to take a quick sip of my coffee here out of my Trent Speaks mug, as I am recording this the morning of release. Something to look forward to before I get into the topic. A buddy of mine, we are, as long as things pan out, supposed to record tomorrow night. So hopefully I will have a guest for you on the podcast next week. I still have a few guests in the vault, but one thing I really wanted to talk about, and I'm probably should have looked to see if any of the guests talked about this, to tie it in. But you know what? Let me just roll with her this week. I want to talk about value and understanding your value, understanding your worth. Value and worth, I kind of want to use synonymously with one another this week. But understanding what your value and your worth are, and not just understanding what they are, but fighting for them and not settling. And so I want to talk about all of that here as we dive through the next, however, many minutes together. I want to start, though, by talking about this big term we've been hearing, this big phrase we've been hearing a lot about lately, the Great Resignation. When I was trying to do some research on the Great Resignation on Google, one of the things I had Googled was Great Resignation statistics, because I was like, all right, let's give people the numbers. Well, on two different websites, I looked at three different websites. I didn't realize that two of them, I very realized quickly though, were the same article by the same person. And So you can read this article. I'm not even going to give you the title of it, because if you just type in his name, Jay Zagorski, Z-A-G-O-R-S-K-Y, Jay Zagorski, and type in the Great Resignation, I'm sure you will see stuff pop up. But I thought it was really interesting, and here's why I want to talk about Here's why I want to talk about this in terms of the rest of the conversation here today. So they were talking about how, you know, this Great Resignation term has been thrown around and everything. On January 4th, 2022, according to the article, the latest figures had come out that showed 4.5 million people, so 4.5 million people voluntarily left their positions in November. That was, quote unquote, an all-time high. But the big question is, so what? And so let me dive a little bit deeper. I'm just going to kind of throw some things out of this article. One of the big things that they talked about, they said, you know, if quits for December of 2021 are similar to November, he had written that he expected about 47 million people will have voluntarily left their jobs in all of 2021. And so that would mean 33%, he says, of the total non-farm workforce quit jobs last year. Now, again, his question is, you know, are people quitting higher than normal? Yes. But is it anything substantial to earn the word great in front of it? He says, I don't think so. Because while it seems like a lot, there was a huge swath, he says, huge swath of the labor force does this every year. In 2019, for example, about 28% of the U.S. workforce quit. So 33% in 2021, probably, and 28% in 2019. And while not all sectors are seeing quits, if you take a look, leisure and hospitality lead the pack at 6.4%, professional and business services at 3.6 is trade, transportation, utilities, and the average quit rate is 3%. You have education and health services, 0.2% under that, so at 2.8%, construction and manufacturing. So yes, there's a lot of people. I remind you, this is from the statistics from November of 2021. But one thing that he notes is that people aren't quitting to retire. People are quitting because they're not satisfied with job pay, benefits, working conditions. And it can be a huge waste of time, he notes, for both companies and workers. Hiring and training workers is expensive, he says, which I have heard that before, and I know that is true. You know, searching for jobs, he talks about how that's physically and emotionally difficult for workers. And so he says, you know, a lot of it's on employers as well to try and minimize turnover utilizing different methods. So whether that's, you know, providing better benefits, giving them a sense of purpose, really letting the employees take control in a way. So you might be thinking, you know, like, that's great and interesting and all, but what does that have to do with value? Well, because, you know, he had made that point about, you know, all these people are leaving their jobs, but it's because they're going to look for new jobs. Working in the industry I'm in right now, I've heard from recruiters at just how competitive the job market is. And I think that that's something that we all already know, is how competitive the job market is right now. And people have options. People have options to go anywhere or do anything. Something I've never been good at is fighting for my value, fighting for my worth. Because I would rather take the easy way out and just settle. And I don't just mean that for jobs. It really could be for anything. It could be that, you know, maybe I just don't want to waste the energy to either argue or put myself in an uncomfortable situation, that I'll just take the easy way out. But as of maybe the past, like, year, maybe it's a year is pushing it now that I think about a conversation Leanne and I had last spring. So maybe the past 6 months, I would say I personally, in some situations, have done better about fighting for my worth or fighting for my value. Because to me, if you don't fight for your value, no one else will. No one else is going to stand up for you. You have to take on the initiative to do that for yourself. And really, that could be in anything. It could be in a relationship. It could be a job. It could be negotiating for a job salary. It could be something as simple as returning a product at customer service. The example I'm thinking of, a couple examples I'm thinking of specifically. I had applied for a job. And I made it through the first round of the interview process. And at the very end, they had asked me, what are your salary expectations? Well, I freaked out and I gave them a huge ass range. Because it threw me off. But then, of course, afterwards, I thought to myself, you know, I should have said, well, that's not. And I was very clearly flustered when they had asked that question. And I had flat out said, oh, you know, that's not, like, you're throwing me off. It's not something I had thought about this early in the process, I guess. I shouldn't have to give you the range. I know that you already have a range in mind. And so that was my thought afterwards. Well, I should have said, well, what is your salary range? And, all right, well, I'm just going to write this note because I need to not go off on a tangent here. So I said, I should have said, what is your salary range? I gave them a range, right? Well, they call me back a couple days later. And he goes, hey, we really liked you. We'd love to have you come back for a second interview. And I was like, great. But here's the thing, right? So, mind you, he had called me. And then it was very hard to get a hold of him again. Got a hold of him, finally. And he called me and was talking to me, and he goes, oh yeah, we'd love for you to come back. And I said, you know, that's great. I'm interested. However, the more I have thought about it, the more I would be on a higher end of a range than that lower end. And he's like, well, here's what we're budgeting. And it was under $40,000. Okay. I have a master's degree. I have years of experience of applicable, relatable, relevant experience for this position. And you're trying to give me a starting salary that is what I ended at a job 4 or 5 years ago now. And so it was a conversation that I was very anxious for. But I knew that I needed to have that conversation to say, like, I am not going to, in different words, I am not going to settle. And that I deserve more. And you know, what's interesting is this person had even said to me that they really wanted me at this job, that they saw that I would add a lot of value and everything, and I had a lot of value and knowledge to bring. So I said, well, let me think about it over the weekend and talk to my wife. And he said, okay, he said, that's fair, and let me see what I can do on my end to see if we can bump that up any higher. And I said, okay. So the Monday comes, and I send a very well-worded 2-paragraph email stating why I would need to withdraw from consideration if they are not willing to go up to X amount. And mind you, we did recognize in this phone call too, this initial phone call after the first interview, we did recognize that this is not typically part of the process of doing a salary negotiation right in the middle. But I was also very clear that I was not trying to waste my time or theirs by continuing in a job search that I would never take because of a figure. So I try to contact this person on Monday, and I had said, hey, like, here's the deal. This is where I'm at. This is why I believe that I should be at this particular figure. If not, like, I completely understand I may have to withdraw from the process at that point. So I don't know if I ever, like, word for word said, I am withdrawing from this process. I said, I would probably have to withdraw from this process. Never heard from this person ever again. And here's my thing, right? Here's why I say that. One, because I think it was important for me to hear from my friend who I was talking to about everything. And at one point he said, don't settle. He goes, Trent, you're not in an entry-level position anymore. He goes, with all of your experience and everything, he goes, you're not entry-level, so don't settle. And I think it's different, you know, depending on if you're switching industries, depending on, I guess, what the work is and like if like what that ladder system and everything looks like. But that was something that had really resonated with me though at that position, and why I realized I really needed to fight for what it is that I needed. And I think that too often people are afraid to fight or afraid to stand up for themselves. Because when I say fight, I mean I'm not saying you're like going at it and arguing and people need to yell. No, I'm just saying you need to be assertive. You need to be firm. I really need to get back into reading this book. Once I finish, gosh, I feel like I've been reading this for like a year. The last Harry Potter book. It probably hasn't been a year, but I don't actually know. But I need to get back to reading this book again because I think that this would be very helpful. It's by Chris Voss. I think I mentioned it before. But it is by Chris Voss. And it is called Never Split the Difference, Negotiating as If Your Life Depended on It. Chris Voss is a former FBI hostage negotiator. And he wrote this book in terms of like how to use negotiation in like terms of a business perspective. So this description I'm looking at on bulkbookstore.com of the book says, quote, life is a series of negotiations that you should be prepared for. Buying a car, negotiating a salary, buying a home, renegotiating rent, deliberating with your partner, taking emotional intelligence and intuition to the next level. Never. No, I don't need help with finding a book, you stupid chat. Taking emotional intelligence and intuition to the next level, never split the difference, gives you the competitive edge in any discussion, end quote. I think that's a good book if you're curious about negotiations at all, or if you don't feel like you're a good negotiator. But really, that's what it comes down to, is negotiating. And like I said, whether that's in a relationship, whether it has to do with money or a job, like money in terms of like salary, maybe it's a job offer, maybe it's returning a product, maybe it's trying to make sure that something is correct. For example, when we went to pick up Leanne's car from the dealership, it was still trashed inside and they supposedly were going to detail it. It was still damaged and they were just a hassle to work with. But Leanne went in there. She was firm. She said what she needed to say to make sure that everything was good and squared away with her car. The other thing that I wrote down that I didn't want to go off on a tangent with earlier was shout out to employers real quick. Stop ghosting your candidates, please. Stop ghosting candidates. And prospective candidates, maybe too. I can't tell you how many times I applied to jobs in Illinois over the past however many years, or even that instance from, you know, that example I gave earlier where I had reached out, we had a really great conversation, I reached out about where I was at with the salary and everything. Even just a simple email back to say, okay, thank you for your time, or thanks for letting me know. Like, please don't ghost these candidates that you want to be coming into your job, because if the roles were reversed and I ghosted the employer, okay, well now I've put myself in a really shitty position with that employer for the future. So why do I want to go work for your company, or why do I want to go work for you if you can't even reply to me? Like, for example, that email that I sent that was like two paragraphs long explaining my rationale between why I wasn't going to settle for such a low salary on a master's degree. Like, I had been waiting. I was like, all right, cool. This is really, really well written. I'm really curious to see what the response is or what he comes back with. Absolutely nothing. And supposedly they were super interested in me too. Never heard a word. I'm just saying, you wouldn't like if candidates did it to you, so don't do it to your candidates. Well, I hope you found that informative. I hope that you at least got something out of this podcast. But again, please make sure you are standing up for yourself. Please make sure that you are recognizing your value and not settling. And if you ever need anyone to talk to you about that, feel free to reach out to me at Trent Speaks on Instagram. TrentSpeaks@gmail.com is the email address. And until next time, hopefully we'll be back next week with a guest. Yeah, so that's a wrap.